Welcome to the Casey Kowar Show, a celebration of words. Our guest today is Otto Penzler, the proprietor of the Mysterious Bookshop and the editor of a new collection called Dangerous Women, which are original stories from today's greatest suspense writers. It's published by Warner Books and has a copyright date of January of 2005, so it is currently available in bookstores. First of all, welcome back to the show, Otto.
Hi, Casey. Thank you.
This seems to me like this was a labor of love for you, because you got together 17 of the biggest names in fiction, most of the mystery writers, to participate in this project. And why don't you tell us the difference between Dangerous Women versus some of the other collections you've done in the past?
The major difference that I can come up with immediately is the books that I've done recently that I'm very proud of are Best American Mystery Stories of the Year, which I do for Houghton Mifflin. And all of those stories are reprints. For Dangerous Women, every story is original and was written specifically for this collection, and has the theme, as you might guess from the title, of Dangerous Women. Every story has at least one dangerous woman in it.
Now, so when you started out this project, you contacted the writers involved and asked them if they were interested in participating. Is that how it all got started?
Yeah, I did. The beginning of the book is a kind of an interesting little story. I was sitting in my office here behind the Mysterious Bookshop, and Joyce Carol Oates had just come in to do a signing. And when she finished the signing, she said, what are you working on now? Are you doing any more anthologies? And implicit in that was she was ready to write a story.
And surprise, surprise.
Yeah, fortunately.
Yeah.
And I said, yes, I am. Well, the truth is, at that moment, I had just finished doing a book, and I had no idea of what I was going to do next.
Okay.
And out of the blue, I have no idea where it came from, just came down from heaven, the title Dangerous Women came into my head. And I told Joyce, I said, yeah, I'm doing a book called Dangerous Women. She said, that's a great idea. Could I write a story for you? And I said, I would love it. The very next night, I was having dinner with Elmore Leonard. It sounds like I'm sitting here name-dropping, but this is the way it worked.
Go ahead.
I was having dinner with Elmore Leonard, and out of the blue, he said, you know, I'm really in the mood to write a few more short stories. Do you need anything? And I said, well, I'm putting together this terrific book called Dangerous Women. And he said, Dangerous Women, that's what I write. I said, I know. He said, I'll give you a story. So the first two people I mentioned it to, Joyce Carol Oates and Elmore Leonard, both of whom wrote terrific stories for this book.
Yes. Yeah, that's a pretty good start.
Yeah.
And what I found fascinating about the collection is that the dangerous women are of all types. There are wives, there are daughters, there are they range the gamut. And in fact, Nelson DeMille has a story called Rendezvous where there's really not much interaction between the dangerous woman in his story and the protagonist, but she's dangerous all the same. And this was kind of a rarity, wasn't it, for Nelson DeMille to write a short story? It was the first one he had written in quite a while, I believe.
I think it was more than 25 years. When Nelson was young and just starting out as a writer, as was true of so many writers, he wrote some short stories. And as he admitted, they're not usually his strength. DeMille's stories, his novels, are big, thick books, rich with character and a lot of story. The bestsellers for a good reason. They're really terrific books. But the short form is not something that he was comfortable in. And when I asked him to do a story for me, he said, but I don't write short stories. And I said, well, try. He said, well, I haven't written one in 25 years. I said, so try. And a little time went by, and he said, well, okay, you know, I've got something. I'm working on it. And as weeks went by, he would call every now and then and say, you know, it's getting kind of long. Well, don't let it be a novel. And it turned out to be a 50-page story, which is the longest story in the book. It's as short as he could write. got mounting suspense throughout. It's about a sniper.
Yeah.
A young woman, Vietnamese, North Vietnamese sniper, who follows an American patrol and bit by bit shoots one person at a time.
Yeah, it's
a really chilling story.
It is a chilling story, and I thought it fit within the theme of the mm-hmm. of the book very, very well.
Well, I'll say she's a dangerous woman, all right.
Yes, Ed McBain makes an appearance in Dangerous Women in a story improvisation, and he has some dangerous sisters that he kind of gets involved with.
Well, he does. It's the first story in the book because I thought, in a way, it really epitomizes dangerous women, where a man thinks that he is a predator. Not necessarily in a violent way at all, but in a way that makes him think that he is in charge. And he attempts to pick up a girl at a bar, and what happens after that proves that he was never in charge.
Yes. Much like a story Andrew Clavin wrote, Her Lord and Master, he gets involved with a woman who he ends up getting a little bit more than he was bargaining for as well.
Yeah, the story by Andrew Clavin is a story that he sent to me about 4 years ago or 5 years ago. And he said, listen, I wrote this story. I had no place to sell it, no place to place it. I just had this idea for a story that I thought was terrific. And I gave it to my agent, and my agent refused to place it because it was such a nasty story.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it, and I loved it, and I said, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I don't know where I can help you sell it, but I'm going to put it in my file, and someday this story should see the light of day because it is a great story. It's nasty, but it's great.
Yes.
And when I started to put this together, I remembered the story, and I said, oh, boy, this is the perfect dangerous woman story. And I called him, and I said, it's never been published anywhere, has it? He said, no. I said, I'd like to use it in Dangerous Women, and I did.
Oh, that's great.
It's a memorable story, isn't it?
It is. It is. Otto, tell me a little bit about Michael Conley's entry, Cielo Azul. He does an interesting thing in the story. He brings in two of his characters, Harry Bosch and Terry McCaleb, from different books, and has them work on a case together. And did you approach Michael about this contribution, or is this something that he'd been working on as well?
Well, I went to Mike and told him that I wanted a dangerous woman story. And the first short story that Mike ever wrote was for an anthology of baseball mysteries that I edited about 3 years ago. He always said he couldn't write short stories. And but he wrote a great story. It was so good that it made it into Best American Mystery Stories of the Year. So when I went to him again, he said, gee, you know, I don't even know if I have time, and I'm not that, you know, able to write stories, and coming up with ideas is hard. And I said, well, think about it. And he called me back a few weeks later, and he said, you know, I wrote a story for my website, just for my readers and fans and stuff, and I think if I rewrite it and adapt it, it could work for Dangerous Women. And I said, great, let me see it. And he did that and sent it, and I love the story. In fact, when the book is being reviewed, a lot of people are singling out that story as being an especially strong entry in the book.
Yes. It seems that Michael Conley, I remember when the Black Echo first came out, and you were one of his early champions.
Yeah.
He's developing quite a career, isn't he? I think he's going to make it into the ranks of the Chandlers and the Hammetts. He seems to have that staying power and that talent, doesn't he?
I think he does. I think it was recognizable from the very first book, which is why I was such a strong advocate and great fan from book one. And what's interesting about Michael Connelly is we all know he's a bestseller in America, but he's even bigger in Europe, in England and in France. He is one of the biggest sellers in the country. Here, he makes the bestseller list, but he doesn't sell books in the same quantity as, say, John Grisham or Tom Clancy or Patricia Cornwell. But in Europe, he is at the same level or higher than all of those people.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Another, I thought, a very strong story is Karma by Walter Mosley. And it's another story that it runs 48 pages, but it's really, Walter Mosley does some pretty amazing things with the plot, I thought, in a 48-page story. And Mosley's another writer who, well, all the writers in the collection are top-notch writers. But I thought Mosley's entry was excellent as well.
Yeah, I was a great fan of that story, and when I read it, I said, this is really terrific. This is a terrific story, and I like your private detective. I like that guy. And he said, so do I. I like him so much that I'm going to put him in a novel. And I think his next novel, he's got an easy role that's coming out soon, but I think his novel after that, the character that he made his central figure in Karma, in this story, in Dangerous Women, is going to be his lead character in his next novel.
Oh, that's good news.
Yeah.
That's good news.
The same is true with Elmore Leonard's story, by the way. The young woman in his story is, she's dangerous. Boy, she is one bad young woman.
Yes.
And he really liked her a lot, and he said, she's going to be in the next novel.
Good. Now, for the listeners, that's Luli and Pretty Boy, and it's about a woman who she likes Pretty Boy Floyd, and it's a nice throwback story and works really well. And I'm not surprised that he's would find enough meat in that character to write a novel about. Leonard's another writer that everything that he writes, it seems, is just incredibly readable.
Yeah, he became one of the most successful writers in America for a good reason. He has a terrific writing style that everyone can relate to, and he keeps it simple. You know, a lot of writers think that in order to be more interesting or to be unique or memorable in some way, that they have to add a lot of prose and write in a way that's very writerly, very stylized. Elmore Leonard does the opposite. He pares down, makes it leaner and leaner. He likes to say, "I leave out the part." I try to leave out the parts that people skip. It's a great line about his writing.
That is,
and he certainly does it in this story. And like I said, the next novel is set in the gangster era in America, and Luli makes a long appearance in that book.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Now let's talk for a moment about Ian Rankin, and you, in your introduction, you gave a fact in there that I was unaware of, that he's in the Guinness Book of World Records for having 7 bestsellers on the London Times list at the same time. And his story is Soft Spot, and he's going to be a guest on the show in a couple weeks. And his Inspector Rebus series is really caught on in a meaningful way, and he's not that old.
No, he has been writing. He probably has close to 20 books already, and I don't know his age off the top of my head.
I think he's about 45. I think
45. Okay, when you get to be my age, everybody looks younger. but yeah, his John Rebus character is such a brilliant literary figure, and he's so fully developed, so dark. You know, he's such a sad figure in so many ways, but such a great. Great cop, and this guy is such a talented writer, and he was so talented at such a young age. It just is amazing to me, and I think he gets better all the time. The books are fuller and richer than almost anybody around, and it's why he's so successful in the UK. He still hasn't made the bestseller list in America, surprisingly, but yeah, that was 7, and the London Times list, by the way, is only 10.
Is that right?
15, yeah.
Wow.
7 of the 10 books on the bestseller list were all by Ian Rankin at the same time.
And that's a writer that if listeners are looking for someone to pick up and start a series, the Rebus series is a wonderful series to get involved with, and I'm glad that he's starting to get the publications and the publicity here this side of the pond, because he richly deserves it. And now, he won the Edgar very recently, didn't he, Otto?
Yeah, he won it this last year.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The most recent winner of the Edgar for the best novel of the year. And I would say, although that's a great book, and everybody should read it if they can, but if you're new to Ian Rankin, if you've never read Ian Rankin, try to find the earlier books.
Okay.
Because the character does develop over time. There are changes in his life, in his family, and you really come to know this guy, and he becomes a friend, because you have such warm feelings for this very sensitive, very intelligent, and very sad policeman.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, wonderful character.
Yeah, it is. Another one of the bestsellers that appears in Dangerous Women is Jeffrey Deaver. And he writes a rather harrowing story called Born Bad. And it's the story of a mother and a daughter, Liz and Beth Ann Palemas. And mom is a seamstress. And it's the classic type of mystery story that I love, where things are not as they appear.
I don't give away the ending of this, because it's one of the nice surprise shock stories in the book. It's the last story in the book, which is deliberate, because you know, you, I think when you're an anthologist, you put, if you can, your two strongest stories as your first story and your last story.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey Spillane used to say that you know, you write a great beginning, that way you get your reader for that book, and you write a great ending, because that way you get them for the next book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Jeffrey Deaver story is really one of the most surprising and shocking mystery stories that I've ever read.
Yeah, it's a great story.
He's a great short story writer. He wins the Ellery Queen Magazine Award year after year. I mean, he's been nominated like 7 times for the favorite short story writer in the magazine, and he's won it several times too as the favorite mystery writer for Ellery Queen Mystery Magazine.
Wow. Now, I'm not usually prone to read blurbs on dust jackets, but Janet Ivanovic on the back of Dangerous Women says, "I'm not usually given to superlatives, but Dangerous Women may be the best, most varied, and colorful mystery anthology of all time." And that's pretty strong praise from a best-selling crime writer. And I would have to agree that it is, the stories from top to bottom are all very well written, and they're very different. And if you look at some of the scope of the stories, you have Thomas H. Cook has a story, What She Offered, which is another story where the reader starts out thinking that they know what's going on, and things go quite awry there as well. And I liked that story, because in it, I think Thomas Cook is poking fun at himself a little bit with the story, and I'm a big fan of Thomas H. Cook, and I enjoyed his story as well.
Yeah, I'm a great fan of Tom Cook also, and this story is perhaps the most beautifully written piece in the entire book. It has mood and tone and sense of atmosphere that is so dark. So softly dark,
mm-hmm.
that it haunts you long after you finish reading it.
Mm-hmm.
A nice little surprise, too, when you come to see what it's all about. Just to mention, by the way, just to go back for 1 second to the Janet Ivanovic quote, I had asked her for a story, and she said, "Well, I just don't write short stories." I said, "Well, if you're not going to write a story, would you read it and give me a blurb if you like it?" And she wrote back, and she said, "I don't give blurbs, but I'm going to make an exception because I love this book so much."
Mm-hmm.
She gave it that great blurb. You don't go into bookstores to see quotes from Janet Ivanovic on a lot of books, because she just doesn't like to do it.
Yeah, I was impressed when I read that. And this is the kind of book, I think, Dangerous Women is the book we're talking about, just published. And It's a perfect book when it's cold outside like it is right now. Perfect book to curl up to a fire with, and you can read two or three at a time, or you could read the thing in a gulp if you wanted to. But I would recommend that the reader take their time with the stories and kind of maybe pace it with a good novel at the same time, because you don't want to hurry through them too much.
Right.
Now, Otto, one of the names that stuck out to me a little bit when I was reading was Jay McInerney. And the reason being is when I think I look at the roster of writers you have, Jay McInerney burst onto the scene with Bright Lights, Big City back in the 80s, but I really don't think of him as a mystery writer, really, or a crime writer. How did his story, which is a very good story, how did it find its way into the collection?
Well, Jay McInerney, he pronounces it McInerney.
McInerney, okay.
Jay McInerney wrote a story for The New Yorker about 7 years ago, which was a crime story, and it was so terrific that I put it into Best American Mystery Stories of the Year. And when I was putting together this book, Dangerous Women, I wanted really good writers. I didn't want just big names. I wanted good writers. And I remembered that story. So I wrote to him and said, I know you wouldn't regard yourself as a mystery writer, but you wrote that great story that went into Best American Mystery Stories. Could you write another one? And he said, I have ideas for three stories, none of which are really mystery, but they have some element of suspense and everything. Let me write them and see what happens. And he wound up writing two of them, and he sent them both to me. And I had a hard time picking which of the two I wanted to put in the book. Both of them had very strong elements of suspense. You had no idea what was going to happen, where it was going to go. And I wound up using the one that I liked a little bit better. But I'm hoping that the other one will see the light of day somewhere, because it was a really terrific story also.
Good. Another story I'd like to mention, or the writer as much, is Ann Perry. Tell us a little bit about Ann Perry for the listeners that aren't as familiar with her work. She writes a little bit of a different type of novel, but a very, very good writer and one of the major writers writing today.
Yeah, they're all different. All the stories in this book are different from each other. There are very few where you could say, well, these six are like this and these six are like that. I mean, they're so varied. Ann Perry writes historical stories, and she makes the New York Times bestseller list with her Victorian detective stories. But this was, while historical, a little bit more recent and set in America. Ann Perry is Scottish and lives in Scotland and writes about Victorian England mostly, although her more recent books have been about a World War I era, a man based on her own grandfather. She is one of the hardest working people in the mystery writing field, and is a prolific novelist, and she loves to write short stories, and now she's editing anthologies herself. She just works all the time, and to produce the amount that she does and maintain a high level of quality the way she does is really quite remarkable.
Yes, I agree. Well, Otto, I'd like to thank you for discussing Dangerous Women with us. Is there anything else we should know about? Any books that you've read recently that you're particularly fond of that we should be reading?
There's a wonderful new book from James W. Hall.
Yes, I just read it over the weekend.
Isn't it terrific?
I thought it was fabulous. I thought that was a fabulous book.
I love that book.
And for the listeners out there, James W. Hall has written a series of mysteries, Thorn mysteries, that started in, I believe it was about 1987, wasn't it, Otto?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and most of them took place in South Florida, and they're an amazing series of books. But this Force of Night is something different. It involves Native Americans, and it takes place in the mountains of North Carolina. I thought it was fabulous.
James Hall is one of those writers who hasn't quite become a household name. He's quite successful, but he's never made the bestseller list that I can remember anyway. But he's for people who appreciate really great writing, he's a wonderful writer. He started out his career as a poet,
mm-hmm.
and won numerous awards for his poetry, and decided that he wanted to write prose and wrote a novel and turned into a mystery novel, which he didn't even know was going to be when he started it. And it used the character that named Thorne, only Thorne. And he didn't know that he was going to be a serious character either. But it just sort of happened. It kept happening. And I don't think there are half a dozen writers in America who equal him in terms of prose style.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I literally just read that over the weekend, and I'd like to talk to him, because I was very impressed with this novel. I thought he made a very gutsy move to write the book that he did, and I think he pulled it off beautifully.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Any others that we should be reading?
Mike Lupica, who is mostly famous as a sports writer, has written a book called Too Far, and it addresses a really important social issue, which is hazing. The hazing that has occurred in high school athletic teams mostly, and in colleges and fraternities and so on, has gotten so out of hand that people have actually died from hazing, which is just used to be just good sport and good fun, but people have gotten carried away. And his novel, his mystery crime novel, uses hazing as the background or the social theme, and it is a compelling novel, and I think is an important novel for parents of kids who are in high school and college age, and for those kids too, and for the coaches mm-hmm. who allow some of this or even encourage it. It's a book that I think a lot of people should be reading.
Good. Well, Otto, thank you for your time today. We've been discussing Dangerous Women, which is just published January of 2005. It's currently available in bookstores. You can go to Otto's website, which is www.mysteriousbookshop.com. It's published by Warner Books, and it's a collection of stories that I guarantee you won't be sorry that you bought it and read it. So, Otto, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show, Casey.